Blog Talk Radio.
7 o'clock p.m. Hello, good day. This is Dr. Shirley Kenneth, General Manager here at WSCIRO, which is Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And it's a pleasure to be here with my Facebook friends here on Blog Talk Radio Station WSCIRO, my friends on the Facebook community as well as YouTube community. We sometimes put the shows on video as well. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth, the other general manager, and we just want to say Happy New Year. We have missed you greatly. The last time we did a broadcast was during the season of Advent, and I believe that was probably, I would like to say, the first, the first week of December. But you know, Christmas came and it went, and you know, it's not the fact that Christmas came and went. Really, I mean, we should be living Christmas every day in our heart, you know. So now we're in the first month of the year, 2010. And there's many promises that have been made from the Lord, you know, and he's been revealing himself to many people regarding restoration of all things from nations to individual lives. But still in that process, there is still a tear down and a building up. And, in the middle of coming up with New Year's resolution, because I was going to originally do a show on New Year's resolution, and I just didn't have a theme or even a day that I wanted to talk about this, because the needs of the world were pressing in on us, and it was more like, do we do a show on New Year's resolutions based on our individual needs as it relates to self, okay, self-improvement, or do we look at something, you know, beyond ourselves that we need to address as responsible people, responsible believers in the body of Christ, as people who have relevant faith, okay? And so, you know, as I'm pondering this, January 12th, was it the 12th? It was Tuesday, January 12th, maybe even probably within a 48-hour period of time prior to January 12th, I was getting this sullenness in my spirit, felt like depression, and it was something that I felt went beyond me. Can't explain it. I mean, I'm a primarily happy person, even in my struggles. You know, the Lord gives me humor to get past it and beyond it. And the thing is, it was like I just couldn't shake that off, that feeling off. And only thing I can liken it to, my husband and I had several times of prayer and dialogue with about this, and he brought to my mind a remembrance regarding when the tsunami was about ready to hit, that it was the same kind of feeling of impending doom coming out of the clear blue, like an impending doom tragedy. And it felt at the time it was misplaced, impending doom. And I wanted to really, you know, put my finger on it, like, where is this, what is this pointing to? And it just kept getting closer, and, you know, it just kept, you know, the interval between going from joy to going to deep, deep, deep sorrow, as if there was a tragic loss, the cycle just kept, you know, it just kept going back and forth. And until finally on January 12th, around 5:30 p.m., I'm finishing my bus run. I'm outside a Subway, you know, getting a sandwich from my husband because I was about ready to meet him at the outreach that we do outreach on. I couldn't move out of my van. I was paralyzed with this impending doom. And I didn't even put the news on. You know, I had access to a radio. I wasn't home long enough to watch TV. And at 5:30, it was like, boom, you know. And I was like, I have to, you know, get, I have to get to, you know, to my husband with the sandwiches. So we did, I did. And while we were doing outreach and the administration part of Southern New England, it was this same thing. It was, I just kept going back and forth. I felt like crying. I felt like, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I said, I don't think there's anything going on with my hormonal system. And I just had to put it out there, you know, and I felt like if I released it, you know, I was going to feel much better. But, I mean, I felt partially better, but not all the way. And I just really just described the feeling. And I said, the last time I had this feeling, you know, and I ran by the executive director of Southern New England, I said, and my husband, I'm like, it was when the tsunami hit. It was when Katrina was, you know, coming up to come in to, you know, New Orleans. And it was just, I said, oh, don't tell me another tragedy of, you know, of mass devastation has happened or about ready to happen, you know. I felt like I was going to find out sooner than later. So we finished up our outreach that evening, and then we had gone home real late, but we got home. And we decided to go to the Internet, and I think my husband, Jeff, you approached the Internet first, right?
Yeah.
CNN,
the news website.
I brought up the NBC website first, yeah. And front page news was about the earthquake.
And I'm like, oh, wow. He said, and I just asked Jeff, what was the, you know, the death toll? What was the devastation? I mean, like, Haiti needed another natural disaster, you know? And I'm thinking about the, you know, the expose that we did on YouTube in 2008, in the summer of 2008, September 2008, when the four hurricanes came through the island of Haiti, and there was lots of mudslides and lots of life because the infrastructure, you know, of just the erosion of the soil, and just the, you know, because people's houses were not totally intact, you know, and it was just the way that they built their houses. And just to see the people crying at that time, and you know, mourning over the people that were drowned and just through the floods and everything, it was very heart wrenching. So then comes the earthquake, and you know, as they were finding the bodies and everything, and you know, as the pictures are coming forward, it was just reinforcing what, you know, the Holy Spirit was doing in my heart regarding this, but at the same time, it was forcing me to really intercede on behalf of the Haitian people and to be a voice. I don't know how effective we are in this, but we are believers in the Lord. The Lord's given us a commission to be the voice of the fatherless and the widow through the media, and to encourage those who say that they follow Christ to do the same. And, I felt during this tragedy a little disappointed in that part, but not so much with the international community. And that's what this whole 90 minutes is going to be about. We have an hour and 21 minutes remaining. It's Faith Talks by Prayer. The talk is going to be how to respond to the Haitian tragedy. We have family members that have been servants of Haiti for the past 27 years. And I'm going to give the mic over to my husband. He's going to fill you in on just what that level of extent of involvement has been for the Canna family, who helped establish St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, which was responsible for building a prestigious hospital in the Fond-du-Blanc region, which is 40 miles south of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Okay, and then what we're going to do is we've been corresponding with some family members. Mom and Dad and sister-in-law Linda have been down there. They're still down there as we're talking, but since then, Fox News has done interview with the director of St. Boniface Haiti Hospital in Fond-du-Blanc, Connor Shapiro, who has a house in Port-au-Prince that I don't believe is standing anywhere right now. and also you know, the rest of the staff. Yeah, he just retrieved his pregnant wife, who was pregnant for 4 months, with, you know, pregnant with a child of, you know, she's 4 months pregnant. So, you know, he has to not only run the hospital, but he's got to have seek shelter, a safe haven for his wife and his adopted daughter. But I'm going to give the mic over to my husband, and I'll be popping in from time to time when the spirit moves me to speak. So we just ask right now, before we continue on in this broadcast, that Holy Spirit, you would just come, and you would just come into our midst with your presence and with your power. And, Lord, that you would just direct the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, that we would be pleasing to your sight as we embark to advocate for the cause of those who have nothing. Okay, here's Jeff.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Jeffrey. And I just wanted to, before I got into saying anything else today, as I was thinking on this event Tuesday and Wednesday, the Lord, you know, showed me exactly how I'm supposed to be praying through this. And this actually came to me on Wednesday. Yes, the devastation is great. Yes, the greater glory of God is even greater than the devastation. Yes, the numerous amount of death is great, yet the life of God is even greater. Simply prayed, show us your glory. We need to see it in this place, Haiti. What you focus your attention on, you empower. Focus on darkness, you reap darkness. Focus on the things of God, you reap the light. Focus on the glory of God, and you reap the glory of God, etc., etc. The more a believer in Jesus focuses on the glory of God the Father shining through the face of Jesus, the more it is magnified and increased in the world and inside of the believers. You and I are temples waiting for the washing of the blood and the water, and the infilling through the water and the Spirit through the Word. That's my spiritual statement about the condition of Haiti, and the people require mercy and sacrifice from the world around them. And it's been a historical tragedy in the sense that the history of the nation is one of decimation, trial, error, revolution, bad leadership. But what you might not know is that includes negative behavior on parts of even the United States, France, Spain, and Britain, and now this is an opportunity for the whole world, not just these nations, to rectify the historical insults to Haiti, no matter what they were, by acting in concert with each other to help in this situation. And you, individual believer of God, you are required to do something too. Gather the saints in your area, in your household, and pray. Take time and pray for the people who are on the ground in Haiti, because that will be their greatest resource, will help them be strengthened, and God will show himself mightily by our intercession on their behalf, because they need it more than ever. They've always needed it, but now it's a new opportunity for God's glory to reign over everything. And here's Shirley.
Hi. And, you know, when Dr. Jeff Candace was, presenting the spiritual aspect of why we should help Haiti, we're going to keep coming back and forth to the spiritual as opposed to what we can do globally through the political system and also from, you know, where we live, how we can help Haiti recover. And it's going to be a long, sustained effort. But, when it comes to believers, somehow, you know, God has used the faith-based organizations over years to sustain Haiti, despite the political turmoil, you know, through the dictatorships of the past, and also the lack of involvement in, you know, the governments all over the world, including, but not limited to the United States, during the different political party involvements. Seemed as at some point when the Republicans were in office, they got minimal attention. But what it did was fuel the fire of many faith-based organizations to go in to the different parts of Haiti to provide the relief that they needed. But that was only the tip of the iceberg. That was only to sustain the level of basic need through food, water, medical supplies, medical personnel, and work teams going back and forth to Haiti and making sure that funds got to where they needed to go. And that seems to have been the problem. And there's been some corruption on that level politically, and there's been a tremendous, huge debt that has been placed upon even the interest that Haiti owes to the world. But, you know, my motto is if you don't have, you know, you can't have blood coming, you can't take blood from a stone, if you don't have it, you can't pay it, and you have to look at the reasons why that, you know, Haiti never had it. But you don't just look at what they don't have. You also look at what they contributed over a period of time, because in the formulation of Haiti as an independent nation, okay, it's been a miracle that they're still a nation. And we're going to take this time that we have, an hour and 13 minutes left, to begin to formulate a more of a positive picture of the nation of Haiti, instead of painting a negative picture like many evangelists have in the last couple of days. Pat Robertson and even commentators like Rush Limbaugh just really trying to use this and exploit this tragedy to say that it's a political football that our president is using and things like that. Now, one of the things that we did, one of the programs that we watched, we don't really watch TV, but we watched this morning, was on Face the Nation. They had former President Bush and former, and I'm talking about former President Bush from the previous administration before the Obama administration was voted in, and former President Clinton. The best of buddies, you know, teaming together based upon the advice of President Barack Obama's administration to, band together and establish a relief fund, a sustained relief fund for the upbuilding of Haiti as a nation that will eventually be a blessing to the world economically. And that's going to take years, but they are now looking at how to strengthen the infrastructure so, you know, things like this do not happen again, and things like that. We're going to be examining in greater detail just what that is. But before then, I just would like to, you know, talk about my mother's organization, St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, my mother-in-law's. And her name is Annette Caniff, and she's the CEO of St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and they established St. Boniface Haiti Hospital, which is state-of-the-art for Haiti, and probably put some hospitals in the United States to shame because of the quality, good quality health care that they provide, that they have been providing to the people of Haiti, especially St. I should say Mont Blanc Haiti, for over the past 27 years. And so my husband is ready right now to fill you in on the extent of that particular endeavor and how, as we are talking right now, there, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, Fred Caniff, they are down there along with Linda Caniff, our sister-in-law, and, of course, with other staff members. But they're on the ground there, on ground level, and they have firsthand view what is going on in Haiti, where they are, and what the need is going to be. More people from Port-au-Prince will be coming their way, and they've already started, because many of the hospitals in the Port-au-Prince region are destroyed, and they're non-existent, but the hospitals in the southern regions are, and they have the good quality, adequate health care, but they are running out of supplies as we are speaking. So here is my husband with them, the rest of that information for you.
Hello. It's been kind of a miracle that all this internet connection and Facebook connection has been available to communicate from outside of Haiti. And in so doing, the St. Boniface Haiti team, which includes Nanette Caniff, who is my mother, and my father, Fred Caniff, and Connor Shapiro, who was the director of the hospital, who he's the American gentleman who lives down there and manages the hospital for the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and my sister-in-law, Linda, who's the chief operating officer of the business side of the ministry here in the United States, and she has been down there. And the thing is, she just passed through Port-au-Prince on her way to Fond du Lac, and it was a matter of hours after she left the boundary of the town, and I don't know how far out she was before she arrived at that earthquake arrived and hit the city. But I'm going to start with news that I pulled off the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation website, and the web address for that is www.haitihealth.org. Again, if you want to look up this information and keep updated or make a donation, there is a button at the top of the donation button at the top of the page. And if you wanted to check them out and see if they're a stable charity, which they are, there's a Charity Navigator button. And Charity Navigator is an organization that, you know, does an independent survey of these companies and gives them a rating so that consumers like yourself can know if they're trustworthy to receive monies, no matter what dollar amount you can afford to give. Please give.
And they work for you.
And so this is the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation newsletter from my mother from Haiti, as she is managing her hospital with Connor to deal with the influx of people. Dear friends of Haiti, Haiti has been hit by the first large earthquake in 240 years. The enormity of the effects of this devastating 7.0 quake are only barely understood at this time. Thousands may have been killed and tens of thousands left homeless. This is a moment in which your solidarity is critical importance. Haiti's grassroots movements, including labor unions, women's groups, educators, and human rights activists, support communities for prisoners, and agricultural cooperatives, will attempt to funnel needed aid to those most hit by the earthquake. Grassroots organizations are doing what they can, with the most limited of funds, to make a difference. Please take this chance to lend them your support. This is a time for all of us to act. What can you do? We urge you to contribute generously, not only for this immediate crisis, but in order to support the long-run development of human rights, sustainable agriculture, and economic justice in Haiti. During this period, if you or anyone you know are planning to make a donation to assist those in need, please consider the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation. Donations will be forwarded to our partners on the ground to help them rebuild what has been destroyed. In solidarity with the Haitian people, Nanette M. Caniff, President and Chief Executive Officer.
Well, you were reading Mom's letter, I got a hold of Connor Shapiro's letter. And Connor Shapiro, for most of you who do watch TV, keep yourselves updated as to what the the current events are locally and internationally. Connor Shapiro, director of St. Boniface Haiti Hospital, appeared on Foss and Friends Saturday newscast yesterday morning, January 16th, on the morning show there, and he was able to get a connection. Sometimes, you know, because their communications were, you know, sometimes cell phones didn't work in certain regions, or certain people had access to internet and others did not. So Skype was another way to go and to, you know, voice what was going on from the ground before the media came in there. And then, of course, the social media gift of a luxury to be able to tweet through the Twitter and also Facebook. So that's how we were able to keep connected to the ground at in Pont de Blanc. So Connor wrote, and he stipulated in this letter what he spoke on Fox News. And we'll post that link in a special blog that we will have on Blog Talk Radio. It's already been posted on Facebook as well. So there's also another link on Facebook, St. Boniface Haiti Foundation fan page. They are going to, you know, somebody, one of the staff members of St. Boniface Foundation, St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, erected a fan page within the last couple of days, and they posted all the latest updates as to what's going on the ground and also people's stories. Because, you know, let's face it, tragedy is tragedy, but when you put a human face on it, when you're actually observing day in and day out people's experience of the tragedy, whether they are workers, hospital workers, relief workers, or even especially the people themselves, you know, and what they're going through on every level, physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually, it puts, you know, puts a human face on the tragedy, and it causes people to want to respond because it can happen to any of us at any given moment. Like one person said, earthquakes, you can't see them coming. You can't forecast them, although they did have
They predicted that it could happen, but they couldn't determine precisely when it would happen.
Right, and that the geophysicists came to find out when they were there to assess the geophysical damages from the previous hurricanes, that, you know, four hurricanes in a row in September 2008. They found something a bit disturbing, that the tectonic plates were also about, you know, they were moving, and they had predicted that within a 2-year time period that that there was going to be an earthquake, and they warned the then mayor at the time, and you know, because they were such a poor country and couldn't access the funds that they, you know, had available through the, you know, the government, the international governments, they couldn't do anything. Their hands were tied. And that's why we're going to talk about a little bit later, before this broadcast, and about the one campaign and the petition that's right now being circulated to drop the $890 million debt for Haiti, so that they don't have to worry about that, and they can have access to the monies that have come into them. So that's based on interest. And we'll talk about how they originally incurred the debt, and in 1947, how they actually paid off debt, and now this money is actually interest of that particular debt. It's a loan, it's a loan from the ISM. But we will talk more on that after I read Connor Shapiro's letter. Okay. So for those of you who want to respond to the Haitian tragedy, which is everyone's tragedy. You can do so. I'm going to give you, you can do it. I think you can do it through the CRS, but we prefer that it goes to St. Boniface because it goes directly to the efforts on ground. All right, from Connor Shapiro. My name is Connor Shapiro, and I am a U.S. citizen and general director of the St. Boniface Haiti Hospital in Pont de Blanc, Haiti. I wanted to send everyone a quick update of the situation on the ground as we see it. As you all know by now, Port-au-Prince other surrounding environments have been hit by a strong earthquake that has devastated the city and surrounding communities. At the time of the earthquake, I was in my office at the hospital in Fontaine Blanc, about 65 miles from Port-au-Prince. We had said between 40 and it's actually 65. The shaking was quite serious, but we did not sustain much damage at the hospital or in the village. However, as soon as I heard that the epicenter was in Port-au-Prince and couldn't get in an email contact, I rushed with other employees to find our families. Our family's house is located in Delmas, in one of the hardest hit areas of Port-au-Prince. My wife, Lise, who is 4 months pregnant, and daughter, Lisa, 6 years old, were able to email me to say they were unharmed, but I wanted to evacuate them as soon as possible. Due to road damage, we weren't able to get into the city until yesterday morning, and I was lucky to be able to get my family back to Fontaine Blanc. The roads in Port-au-Prince all along the southern coastline are extremely tenuous, and they were tenuous to begin with before the tragedy. And many bridges are cracked and ready to fall. At one point, we had to run across a bridge as a family, while our vehicle and driver raced across to avoid it collapsing under our weight. We arrived in Fontaine Blanc safely last night, and we are doing okay. The scene of Port-au-Prince is just inconceivable. Can't wrap the head around it. Almost every building has major structural damage, and most large buildings have collapsed. Bodies line the streets, and millions of people are walking with nowhere to go. As of yesterday afternoon, there were no aid organizations that I could see, and the suffering is just unbelievable. There needs to be a massive aid effort to restore order. I saw a random incident of mass hysteria. So some of the things that one can do is feed the people and get clean water to the population. That's the immediate need right now. Large refugee camps need to be set up throughout the city, and it will be important to have security forces that can restore order, especially as time goes on. There also needs to be a huge effort to evacuate people who are injured by fallen debris and concrete. In Fontaine Blanc, we have a functioning operating room, but need an orthopedic surgeon, supplies, gas, diesel and gasoline, and water as soon as possible. If anyone has contacts with the military, they can feel free to land by helicopter at a field within a quarter of a mile of the hospital and deliver what is needed so that we can start operating. I would also like to evacuate a visiting American group of 10 people, as well as 3 members of my family, including my pregnant wife, and, of course, our sister-in-law, Linda, is part of the evacuees, and nephew. If you don't have contacts in the military, please feel free to donate funding to our organization to www.haitihealth.org. Again, www.haitihealth.org. We will need financial help to deal with the aftermath and long-term and ongoing rehabilitation of Haiti. Please forward this document to anyone you can help. You think can help. Thank you, and please email at, I'm going to give you his email address for direct connection to Connor. Connor, CONORSHAP, ConnorShap@yahoo.com. Again, Connor, CONORSH as in happy, AP, @yahoo.com. If you have any questions or need further information in terms of getting the help that I requested. Okay, and Also, there was a documentary, a 10-minute documentary that I actually found on YouTube on Destiny of Hope, and it's ironic that this 10-minute documentary, which has my mother-in-law in it, Connor is actually one of the main narrators, and this young person who actually did the documentary, it was uploaded to YouTube around October. The last part of October 2009, and so for those who want to view that, I will also have that link in the blog portion of WSERO Blog Talk Radio, as well as Facebook too. And we have it as a featured video on YouTube, a YouTube station, our WSTKITV YouTube station, which is the address is youtube.com/WSTK and WSCIRO. And, you know, it's a tragedy that could have been avoided had there been a solid infrastructure, and part of that infrastructure would be the construction of houses. One of the things that my mother-in-law was able to do, my mother-in-law and her staff, and the work retreats that were comprised of young college students from different parts of the United States, formerly in work retreats, and going down there, my mother brought several hundred work retreatants down there over the course of 27 years, as well as medical teams and teams of electricians, people who knew about how to wire and rewire buildings, architects, people who were engineers, and things like that. So she had some friends who knew how to do this, and they have been a good support for her to build up the infrastructure of Fond du Bois, Katy, and that Fond du Bois Village has actually been the state-of-the-art town that everybody comes to find out how you can help a village and make it more self-sufficient. They have market. There was market going on there within the last couple of days. The tilapia farms and schools and houses that they go out and check the quality of housing, and then they have actually raised enough funds to rebuild or build better quality housing. They can withstand the storms that Haiti gets. And their architecture of their house is not like the same as the you and I. It's in relation to the weather that happens in Haiti. They don't have their kitchen in a house. They have a kitchen that's outside of the house, which makes sense. It kind of cuts down the chance of fires and things like that. So they have a code that is specific to the geophysical climate of Haiti, okay? And that's what has to happen. And if people from the United States or any part of the world were to come in, consisting of a team, that would have, a group of physicians or people, that can consistently provide medical care. And then, you had, a team that, would help with, with housing, and a team that would do the research of the environment to find out just how, what kind of housing they would need to build in order to, be a safe, place for people to live, okay? And, when you have all these, you have an education team for the children, of course, but wherever, whatever can be provided that would make the society run smoother as far as basic levels of need or concern, the need for food, the need for shelter, the need for better quality clothing. I mean, I know that there's a lot of ministers out there with major ministries that are really into the glory of God. We are too. That seem to get more, wanting more of their people to receive that, and then they send them out. But what happens if tragedies like this happen? And there needs to be a time where we have to put that stuff aside and go forward in faith, okay? Train up, instead of just training up people for ministry, you're training up people to be EMTs, or providing scholarship money for them. Churches can do this, provide scholarship money for their students, that for their Bible students, that so they can be more effective, in medical missions, okay? Some might even, feel led to be doctors. Some may, you know, feel that to be engineers, but we need to move from that place of in relevant faith and relevancy to exercise our faith to be more well-rounded in these other areas that will make a difference instead of us just using our mouths to criticize the, you know, the politics of the situation, to accuse leaders of things that they are not doing, you know, and to get a better focus as to, well, what good are they doing, you know, what good are these faith-based organizations doing or these GPOs. So we have to, you know, shift, have a paradigm shift of our attitude in helping people and our part in it and our role in it. Otherwise, you know, at some given point, people are going to, you know, whoever the powers be are will be, will look at Christianity and say, well, why should we even take Christians for granted when they don't even want to help or they're not qualified to help help and develop a nation develop in these areas that we need them to develop. The world's made themselves very clear that they're, you know, are looking at, either looking to faith-based groups to do this. And I think that we should really seriously look at to how we are training people to go out on the mission field to be more effective, to be more relevant. And, you know, that's what the Lord's been really dealing with me in the area of relevancy and how, you know, and how to exercise relevant faith in restoration. And restoration is not just a spiritual thing. Restoration is the restoring, okay, of a people, is to help restore, you know, people to full capacity, nations to full capacity. It's bigger than ourselves. We don't know how to participate on a larger scale with that as a body of Christ. We're not going to know. We're not going to be effective. 80% of the organizations that are on ground in Haiti, ironically, I say ironically because it seems that over the years, you know, on the media, you know, on the traditional media level, many big, you know, churches, what do you call those churches, mega churches, have always prided themselves of being there for the poor in Africa and different places. You know, I mean, every once in a while you'll see some ministry from Haiti, but it seems like that's like only 20% coming from the evangelical community, and that need not be so. On the other hand, the very same people that many evangelicals criticize when it comes to different faith doctrines, those 80% of all the organizations that are on the ground in Haiti are Catholic. And that says something. That says something about the church. That says something about the relevancy of faith that exists in the church. And it doesn't say too much about the evangelical community. And I really believe that the Lord is very, you know, his heart is broken over that. And I'm going to give this to my husband as I pray more into this. I'm trying not to be hard on people, but I really think that out of the love of Christ, we need to look at how relevant we need to be as a complete body of Christ. Not, you know, just, you know, that we should all move together in that area to see what we can do individually. And, you know, to see what kind of training we can have so we can be effective. Here's Jeff.
Well, I was just listening to that Shirley commentary. What the Lord was speaking to my heart. Church of the Most High God, stop judging your members. Stop judging each other. Stop. Because what you judge will be returned to you if you do not repent of your judgments. Be prepared for anything. My life is in you, and the things around you are replaceable, but human beings are not. The human beings made in my image, whether they believe in me or not, or whether they believe in me according to your particular way or not, it's all immaterial. because I am the source of all life, spiritual and otherwise. I really have no need of human beings. I choose to use them because they are the ones whom I have given the earth. They are the ones whom I have given the power of redemption to bring the gospel to the four corners of the world. This infighting has to stop. This infighting has to stop. Enough with it. Your God loves everyone. Your God will have his day of justice, but it's not today. Today is still an hour of mercy, an hour of bringing forth my glory, an hour of bringing forth my signs and wonders in this situation. If my people who are called after my name would repent and call forth my glory, you would see wonders in the heavens and wonders in the earth far greater than you've ever seen before. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears to hear what I want. And lower your voices and lower your heads. Bow down to me completely and stop misleading my people. Stop telling them falsehoods about me. Because I am love and I cause no destruction. Life and glory are in me. I cause no destruction. Because I love the whole human race, regardless of whether they have come to terms with my salvation or not. I love them. And I will reach out to them in many, many ways. Stop being so obstinate in your pride that you are Christian, that you are evangelical, that you are Protestant, that you are Assembly of God. Stop being so prideful. Lower your head, lower your heart, lower your voice so you can hear me and listen to my word about what the Spirit is saying today in the church.
Amen. And I didn't realize, Jesse, your voice is going to prophesy like that, but you know, one of the things that the Lord has is something that Jeff, the Lord was speaking to Jeff about, and you know, he would put his finger on this particular thing, is that this earthquake was not of God. God did not cause the earthquake, and I know that there's a certain evangelical minister who says it's a mixed blessing in disguise. Now Haiti will get the help. And he talked about Haiti's dark history of the voodooism. But that is not Haiti all the way. That is not a clear picture of the nation of Haiti over the last 240 years. The Lord was putting in my heart that the principalities and powers caved in on the people, and that's how that happened. But again, there was the Haitian people, for the most part, are spiritual people, and there are many believers here who have tremendous amount of faith, and that's why, as a nation, they're able to survive all that they have survived. I can imagine if this kind of devastation, or we experience one quarter of what the Haitian people have put up with and experienced through the different dictatorships and through the weather tragedies, where would we be as a nation? I don't think we'd be far. I think that there would be a lot more devastation here because our spiritual natures, we don't have the character to withstand the national character to withstand the tragedy, same kind of tragedy that Haiti has experienced. The Lord was showing me that Haiti will rise from the ashes like a phoenix, okay? And they will be, this generation coming up, will be, all right, a source of inspiration to the rest of the world, and they will arise as an economic power that would provide solutions, okay, for many of the, you know, for the economy. There's many smart people in Haiti. It's amazing how during these trials and tribulations over the last 240 years, on the continent, on the island itself, Haiti has produced doctors and lawyers have gone all over the world to make advances in the medical profession and in engineering, okay, and have not only made advances, but they've actually made enough income to send back to their families individually. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason how Haiti has thrived so long, all right? very well educated people, very artistic in their in their music and in the arts, and you know, and these are gifts of God. This is how the Lord has sustained them on a spiritual level. And so, you know, there's a reason why the nation of Haiti exists. You know, that was the first island that Christopher Columbus discovered in the Western Hemisphere, 1492, and he called the island Hispaniola. Jeff, would you like to tell more about the history of that? Are you equipped to do this, or?
Well, just the word itself, Hispaniola, was defined as Little Spain or the Crown of Spain, and there has been, and there was immense slavery in the slavery days, and then over time, Haiti, the slaves formed associations that resulted in revolution and emancipation, and they were on their way to being a nation that was truly the first republic of free men, African Haitians, African Dominicans, and they were going to thrive economically until Spain demanded restitution of all the properties that were taken in the revolution, and it amounted to a big amount of money, like maybe $15 billion in today's terms on money, and it was the debt started in 1842 or something like that to 1947, and so it took them 125 years to be free of this debt, and I don't understand. And then again, somewhere around the line, this financial institution, which everybody would know of, but I'm not going to say their name. I'm not going to honor them by saying their name because there's two of them. And I don't know if that money was ever released, but they had like $800 million that they held on to Haiti for, and they put unrealistic requirements on that money. And they still, because they hadn't spent a dollar, and that, and they kept charging interest. To me, that is a heinous behavior on that institution's part. And it's like they should forgive the entire debt, in, or else, you know, there is judgment coming on agencies that act unrighteously. And they're, you know, and God's view of everything that's happening on the earth is far better than mine. I'm only one finite being, but you know what? I'm one voice, and I'm going to speak up because.
Was that international debt?
Well, Haiti was considered a nation, so yeah, the International Monetary Fund is an international organization. World Bank is an international organization, and so to answer your question, Shirley, yes. And but when you look up the history, they were moving towards freedom and democracy, and even though they were inspired by the French Revolution, that's what said, you know, every human being is endowed, you know, in our own constitution, it says that we are endowed by our Creator to life, liberty, and that doesn't mean people who live in the borders of the U.S., even though that's where it all, the development of the philosophy started. It means everybody on the planet, in any nation, was created by God and given their nation from God. And we have to, if we take God out of the equation, that then it's so easy to let greed, disrespect, anxiety, and any other international attitude get in the way of justice, get in the way of fair trade, get in the way of fair economics, and proper assistance of developing these things. Because In one period, I found this to be interesting, from 1915 to 1947, the United States had occupied Haiti, and for its own reasons, And just after they probably relinquished the occupation, Hitler was rising up in Europe. So it was like, so the U.S. abandoned, well, the U.S., in my opinion, abandoned Haiti by withdrawing from its support.
But how did they help Israel?
Oh, and during World War II, after Hitler's rise to power and his program against the Jews were trying to escape their homelands, and they were getting turned away from the United States, and the captains of these crews took them into the Caribbean, and Haiti was one of the nations that, according to one of our Jewish sources, had saved some of the Jews from being forced back into their captivity and death camps. So Israel has stepped up to the plate because Haiti had blessed them by saving some of its people from the death camps. So the blessing has been returned in this situation from the people of Israel, and they're willing to send all the necessary people and teams possible from their small little nation to help another small little nation in crisis. And the world is bigger. Americans, you got to wake up. You got to get out of your selfish thinking, especially church members. You got to get out of your selfish thinking. Your world, the world is much bigger than I, and, you know, there's no I in team. We have to work as the body of Christ. One faith, one father, one baptism. And, you know, it's easy to say I believe, but where is the action behind the words? Where's the action? Even if 1 million people out of all the people, 310 million people in the United States, gave $1 to a specific Haiti organization, that would be $1 more towards solving the problem. And if you can give more, you should give more. If God has given generously to you, how about giving back generously to God? And here's Shirley.
Wow, yeah. So, you know, so the fact is, you know, the blessing that's over Israel, anyone that blesses the nation of Israel, the blessings will come back to them in their time of need. And I was very blessed when I actually, this came into my email when I heard about this. From a ministry in Jerusalem. The other thing is regarding the how the Lord used Haiti in its early days of independency during the Revolutionary War, the French Revolution, I think it was.
The French Revolution
period. Yeah. Right. But there was something about the Louisiana Purchase. So my husband has that information right now.
Okay.
Here he is.
Before the revolution, Bonaparte saw what was going on in Haiti and wanted to get rid of his territories in the United States, what was the French Revolution and for independence. And he he disposed of the territory we call the Louisiana Purchase. That was a big area, and he, I don't know what he got for it, but Bonaparte gave it up to the U.S., and so he totally detached himself from involvement with Haiti. Haiti was a French colony at one point in its history before the revolution, and
they sent the patriots from Haiti to help fight to get that land back.
Mm-hmm.
The consensus is that they sent some of the soldiers from Haiti to help, you know, when the Revolutionary War in America, that released, you know, that Louisiana Purchase for the United States, so that became part of the United States territory thanks to the soldiers. And it was so funny, in that war they were saying that in the United States you had some of the soldiers in the United States had actually owned slaves, and yet they were fighting with soldiers from Haiti that were independent. And they were people that were once slaves, but they were independent, and they were fighting with American soldiers that owned slaves. And I thought that was so ironic, you know. But that's, you know, how God works. And These are the reasons why we should be supporting the nation of Haiti. Haiti has lessons attached to it that once they're back on their feet as a nation, as their infrastructure is being strengthened over a period of time, you are going to see some money. You're going to see a strong nation. You're going to see a working nation. And they will be a testimony to the world or to the earth. There has been that dark voodoo stuff going on, but you know, I believe that was in response to feeling powerless at times. And you know, as some people here in the United States, have turned to these through some of the youth. It's because people feel they don't feel power, and they don't trust Christians to tell the truth and to bring them to to be good examples of the gospel. So you know, when somebody is searching for things, searching for truth, but yet they don't trust the bearer of truth because of the way that they're living their lives, or the character of the individual, or the attitude. They just get repulsed into darkness, because they're still on a journey, and they know that there's something that's beyond themselves. And I'm not making excuses for why people get into the occult, but just letting you know how the door is opened. But as a Christian, as a Christian nation, and we are still a Christian nation, I don't care what anybody says, exercising our free will, we need to understand our freedom in the spirit and start praying, and not just confine it to praying, but continue to pray the glory of God and the presence of the Lord over Haiti. I had done a video on a relevant word, prophetic word for the restoration of Haiti, and it's on YouTube. As I'm talking, many people have actually visited that, and I definitely will include that link too on the blog here on Blog Radio. And I think it's people should really take hold of that word, because as a word comes to fruition, the blessings that are attached to it will come to fruition. The Lord came that we might all have life and have it more abundantly. And so if the Lord came that we all might have life and have it more abundantly, it's not the Lord came that some may have life and have it more abundantly, or that a few people may have life and have it more abundantly, but that we may all have life and have it abundantly. And who are we to try to keep that abundant life away from our brothers and sisters who deserve it? And here's my husband.
I just wanted to say that the absence, there was a Catholic presence in Haiti, and there was a period where the leadership structure wasn't present to the people at all. And what happened is, of course, the Voodooists commingled the Catholic faith with their own practices, of the African practices that remained in the people and all that. But, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, it was the church's fault. No matter what dominion, domination you belong to, it was the church's fault. The church was absent in a degree. And you know what? And the church caused the rejection of even the Catholic faith by people who were practicing voodoo, because they didn't see the gospel lived out. They saw these white people living only by their speech, not by their actions. And that's where, for the last 27 years, I've witnessed the development of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation in its early days as a Paris-based organization here in the United States, to a very extensive organization in the south of Haiti in the region known as Fond du Lac. And it all started with 11 people with a desire to raise money for the parish poor, And then they decided that they were going to take the money they raised through a Walk for Hunger, and they shared half of it with the parish poor, and half of it they went to look for an agency. And then this woman from Peabody, her first name was Micheline, she had been a well-traveled person in Haiti and knew one fact very strongly, that in order for the agencies or groups to get the money, you couldn't use the regular post. You had to deliver it person to person. And therefore, that was the beginning of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, its very initial trip to Haiti. We were invited by a parish priest whose parish name was St. Francis Xavier in the province of Fond du Lac. And the organization was invited to help. And as the people of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation searched out what they could do, Pierre Coelho decided that he could. He suggested that the need for medical treatment was the biggest thing for the population in that area, because the nearest hospitals were in Port-au-Prince. And even the fundraising for the building of the hospital was on the miraculous side, because it eventually caused the creation of an economy and provides employment for the people, both in any construction project that exists, whether it's the building of a person's home for $5,000, or whether it's repainting a building, maintaining buildings. The people in this area benefit from the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation. It's created a deeper community. It's kept people who didn't leave the area from leaving the area, and more people are getting touched. And as you've heard in some of the things we've read, that the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation has touched the lives of many people these last 27 years, and they continue to. Not only people in Haiti, but people in the U.S., elementary grade students who have a heart for the poor, who want to do something for the poor, and whether raising money or raising awareness to their classmates, whether it's high school, college, I mean, it's spread beyond measure in this country to support. Even a former director of one of our local hospitals here in Boston had become a member of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and he is still involved. He and his wife are still involved, but they were like part of the founding members who helped during the development of the hospital and stuff like that. And he now lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and he runs a chapter of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation out of Florida too. And so it's a very big blessing on the people, but it is better to give than to receive. And let's stop thinking about ourselves. Magnify the Lord, not just with our words, but with our actions. And that action can be as simple as donating a dollar, or as generous as $100,000 if you can afford it. Anybody who hears this who has money, put your money where your mouth is and donate it to a charitable cause, especially the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation. And you can find the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation donation page at www.haitihealth.org. And then you just, on the front page, there's a donation button. And also on the lower left-hand corner, there's a button that says Charity Navigator, a Charity Navigator member four-star organization. If you click on that button, you will find supporting evidence that was developed in an independent manner of how effective the running of the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation administrative office and hospital is. Again, the website is www.haitihealth.org. Please make a donation, no matter what size. Any donation is welcome, and God's blessing will find its way to you.
Thank you, Jeff. And we have about 20 minutes remaining to wrap this particular segment of the Haitian Update. And this is, again, Faith Talks Live Prayer, and the topic is how to respond to the Haitian tragedy. I know we've given you a lot to chew on, But it's relevant information, and it's on the heart of, in mind of God, and the Lord expects us to act. For those who have relatives or people that you know that are doing outreach, I know that there are several of my friends on Facebook who actually have loved ones that are actually there on the ground of Haiti. That have been working in the various missions, okay? And we're not saying it's just all Catholic. It was, you know, there are definitely evangelicals that are there, but there should be an increase of evangelicals, too, coming alongside of the Catholic faith. And shouldn't it be just, you know, it should just be called Family of God helping, you know? I don't even like to use these terms, Catholic or Protestant. I mean, that is just identification purposes, but it's you know, we're in this time of, you know, this month dedicated to Christian unity, and it's going to be kicked off on Dr. Martin Luther King birthday, which is on Monday, and it's amazing how we just can't get this thing right. But you know, but I really believe that when we depend on the Lord to direct us, you know, he will guide our path. He will guide our steps. Anyways, for those who have relatives that you don't know what, you know the whereabouts of them in Haiti, or you have work, you have people over there that are working on the ground, I'm going to give you this 1-800 number. It's to the U.S. State Department, and they, they're set up as a call-in center to get you to where you need to go and to give you the information you need, okay, to find your relatives or the workers on ground. And they've been very instrumental. I've been listening to WGBH in my van when I drive, when I pick up my special needs students, because they are very much in tune to what's going on in Haiti. I mean, they've actually done some documentaries from Haiti. Based on my mother's organization, as well as other organizations that are there. So the 1-800 number to the State Department to find your loved ones and or those who you know are there working, but you haven't called you yet because of communications, is 1-877-407-4747. 4747. Okay, trying to read my writing there. Okay, we're down to 17 minutes remaining, and we're going to be revisiting this, the progress of what's going on in Haiti on Wednesday. I believe we're hopefully going to be interviewing my sister-in-law, who should be back. She should have been back, but there was a problem with the helicopter. That's the only way that they could actually leave the island or come to the island. Hold on for a second, Jeff. Yeah.
There was two or three people. She had several opportunities while she was on the field, and she surrendered her opportunity to some people who were older and a couple of other things.
Yeah. Well, I actually have that letter right here. She just, had popped a letter into the email, and I received it on Facebook. And I was actually talking to my niece, her daughter, Jennifer, this morning before we did the radio show. And, to see if she was around, and she hasn't come yet, but this is the letter, the recent update for the letter. And this is what people are experiencing. This is what workers are experiencing, those who are doing the work of Haiti, firsthand experience on the ground. From Linda Caniff, I am anxiously awaiting my exit from Haiti now. I am in the way here, and our evacuation is hindering the many things that need to be worked on at the hospital. We had waited 7 hours in a field yesterday morning, getting up at 5 a.m. Then we were told the helicopter wouldn't show. All of a sudden, we heard it and saw it fly above the hospital. We were eaten and flew out of the residence. We caused quite a stir in Fort LeBlanc with all of us running crazy. People picked up some of us along the way. I was actually inside the helicopter yesterday and decided to get out so that one of the older gentlemen could take my place. But it was the right thing to do. The four butlers, this is the butler family that, helps them. The families that come down to help my mom, my mother-in-law and her staff. The four butlers, their cousin Anne, had to remain behind. took off with plans to return 10 minutes later. I would be in Santo Domingo today if the helicopter returned. Kind of reminds me of Gilligan's Island, you know, when the stranded people are waiting for the search people to come. And then, you know, when certain people come, they're all thinking about themselves. They get out there, but they leave the people still stranded, you know. That part is comical. I would be in Santo Domingo today if the helicopter returned. It is so disappointing to come and go from the makeshift airfield here three times and not to get to leave. When I think of my opportunity to escape this feeling of bewilderment, sorrow, I thank my lucky stars because this little bit of paradise is not feeling like my place to be at this time. I really want to come home. So we are planning to try to meet a helicopter again tomorrow morning. It is hurry up and wait as usual. To quote Connor's words of yesterday, I could actually taste what boredom is like. It's been many hours of waiting and then lots of commotion and then the letdown. A bigger helicopter plans to be here at 11 a.m. this morning, but they want us to be ready at 8 a.m. Why? I don't understand, because they haven't had to wait for us. We've been waiting for them. But I will do as I am told. There are 5 of us left. We had a girls' night with some...
Barman.
What is Barman Court? Oh, boy. Well, you know what it is? let's just face it. There's very little to drink on the island.
Alcohol is safe for the drink.
Yeah, alcohol or Coke is safe for the drink. So this is what they had to drink. I think they were running out of water. That's amazing. The other crew has been taken by police escort to Santo Domingo and will await their flight out tomorrow. They have nothing but the clothes on their back. We have their stuff with us. I've had to leave most of my belongings behind, and it would be hard to replace what I do leave here. It's been years of accumulated items from my trip to Haiti, a wardrobe that has taken me years to acquire, the right shoes, all my under things, but I'm just imagining how it must be for the people who have had to leave everything behind in Port-au-Prince, even the loved ones that are now gone on to be with the Lord. They had no choice. I will be going home to what is left. They who have nothing will now have less than nothing. How crazy is that? Okay, so now she collects her thoughts here, and now she goes into what is needed. St. Barnabas is gearing up to receive the wounded at the hospital. Agencies have contacted us, and our reputation for good health care will help those in need. They will want to deliver patients to be treated from the city. Hospitals along the National Highway are too crowded. CRS and others will bring the injured out of the city to be treated here. Supplies will dwindle quickly. It has already been over 72 hours, and we can see the start. Conserving fuel, dwindling running water. It hasn't rained since I got here. A blessing, actually. It would have hindered the efforts to help people in Port-au-Prince, and a curse at the same time. There is no way to get money to purchase things that are needed. Medical personnel need to find a way to get on one of the relief helicopters to make it here. The roads and bridges have been severely damaged out of the city. They are also congested as people try to find a way to get somewhere else. Phone calls have been coming by people who have nowhere else to go. We have been slowly locating people we have been worried about, and most have been found. Some staff have yet to return from trying to locate loved ones or see what has happened to their houses in Port-au-Prince. Tremors have subsided, and some have returned to sleep inside the houses again. The look on some of the faces I have seen, people who have been so joyous to just be alive, are now somber. Sad stories and situations are causing bewilderment. Lamenting of those who have lost loved ones is hard at every step. My job now is to get back to the States to make sure we get help when we get the word out. I am only hearing about aid going to arrive, hearing about mass graves, hearing the potential for hysteria by those who are already hungry and poor. Losing the little they had, their families and friends, I can't even imagine the sorrow along with the suffering. Well, wish us luck today. Once the media dives down on the devastation, the work will continue. Dr. Pierre and his medical team are ready for what lies ahead. Connor is preparing the hospital along with his hopes to get his family back to the state, especially his soon-to-be adopted daughter, whose papers were lost in Port-au-Prince. There is much work ahead for many months to come. Linda Canis, Chief Operating Officer of St. Barnabas Haiti Foundation, Incorporated. And so now you are getting a better understanding with 10 minutes left in this particular broadcast. You're getting a better understanding as to what happens on the ground in Haiti. We've seen what CNN has been, CNN and Fox have been providing for media coverage. And, yes, it's very extreme. One of the things I want to emphasize is the when they say that there's looting going on. Well, that's very minimal, and I can tell you why. There's no stores. They're all collapsed. There is a little hysteria as far as people trying to get resources that are, are in some of the buildings, but that's about it. I don't think these people have enough strength for the kind of looting that people are alleging. So to put that on the Haitian people, they're more civilized than we think. And I think that we need to exercise a little bit more compassion to people in need. Again, it could be us. But it's not right now.
Nobody knows.
And nobody knows what the future will hold. So I believe that the future will hold whatever we put into the present. And I say this in a prophetic warning, that what we put out, we will get back. I believe that the Lord is challenging us to put out compassion so we can give back compassion. We need to be the solution that makes a difference to the people of Haiti. To band with the world community to come up with a solution to make Haiti a stronger nation. And there shouldn't be any fear, because they will actually be a strength to the economy of America because they are a democratic nation. And we must remember that. I would urge people to visit one.org, and they're not a political organization, they're bipartisan, but they are a group of accountable people that want to make the governments of the world accountable to the issues of extreme poverty, the issues that we just spoke about, the poor infrastructure, the lack of the lack of empathy, which is apathy. Bad practices, banking practices, to sign the petition to encourage leaders all over the world to drop the debt, the $890 million debt that's only, it's just interest from a loan so that Haiti can, rise again from the ashes. And only the Lord can do this. But I did see in a dream vision that the government of Haiti, the government of the heaven is coming, is transposing over the government of Haiti. And what I just want to ask that you just would replace leaders that are ungodly and do not have the right your mission and vision for a just nation, that you would replace that with one who is a leader after your own heart. Lord, if you want to bring back John Baptiste Aristide, we ask, Lord, that you would just release him because he has a heart for the nation and he is a man of God. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stay tuned for more updates. We do have 6 minutes remaining. And, Jeff, is there anything that you may want to add to this? We are done with all these things, but we're not done with Haiti, and the Lord's not done with Haiti. And so I hope we get, we love you guys. We just want you to keep Haiti in prayer. There's a couple of things that you can do, and I'm just going to wrap it up in about 5 minutes. Definitely pray for, if you can't do anything physically, pray about sending a donation to www.haitihealth.org or anyone that you know that you can trust that would help bless Haiti, okay? And the other thing is if some of you have the energy and you want to do something, go and check into the Red Cross and see what kind of programs they have, you know, that could train you in relief efforts, long-term relief efforts. Go to, be trained at a level one EMT, level one medic. It's a three-month course. I know that the American Medical Response is all over the United States, and they send teams all the time to disaster areas. And it's some of it, a lot of it is three-month training. And you're not only going to be qualified to do that, but you can be qualified to be an EMT for sports events and also and work, if you want for, to get paid and things like that. The other thing is, if you feel called to be a doctor, start working at medical schools and kind of keep an eye and ear open about doing internships at one of the hospitals in Haiti, specifically St. Boniface Haiti Foundation. There was a gentleman from, I don't know who that doctor was, from Haiti, but he's originally from the United States. He felt called to go down to Haiti to be a doctor, but he fell in love with Haiti while he was there on a medical missions trip. Right? He had not even been a doctor at one point, but then he applied to Harvard Medical School and was practicing medicine while he was in Harvard Medical School, and he's a surgeon to this day. And St. Boniface Haiti Foundation actually put him through medical school. So if you're really serious about doing the work of the missions, and contact St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, and they can maybe they have the funds to put you through school. Here's Jeff.
Should you not have means to use the website for a donation, you can send your donation to the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, 400 Main Street, Randolph, Massachusetts, 02368. Again, if you don't have the means to use the Internet to make a donation, you can send a donation via check or money order to the St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, 400 Main Street, Randolph, Massachusetts, and mark on the outside of the envelope, Haiti Relief. Again, one more time. St. Boniface Haiti Foundation, Haiti Relief, 400 Main Street, Randolph, Massachusetts, 02368. And the phone number is 781-963-7243 is the office phone number. And thank you for your donation in advance.
Okay, so we will be keeping you updated as the weeks and the days go on. And our schedule, we are going to have a special scheduled radio show at 12 o'clock next week, January 24th on a Sunday. And we will be interviewing Agnes from the Mulago Women's Group in Uganda. And she's going to, she's done some work with Bono on YouTube, and it's going to be an awesome show. And she's a talented individual, and she's a courageous leader working with women and children in Uganda who have been afflicted with the HIV virus, but how they banded together to form a organization that addresses these needs, and they're role models for other women groups and organizations as well that that still need to address the issue of HIV, and their own reasons why we need to provide funds to purchase antiretroviral drugs. Okay, all right. Well, God bless you. We love you, and may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His face shine upon you, and bring you to everlasting peace. Love you. Bye bye.